Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing life without Amazon, new data that says that Roths stink, and taking a sabbatical.
Joel, is life without Amazon actually possible?
We'll find out in this episode.
Yeah. We'll get to that a little bit later on, man. But, you know, before we launch into the personal finance stories that could affect our money during today's episode, man, what a week we have had, right? Earlier this Wednesday. Dude, I thought 2021 was going to be nothing but rainbows and unicorns.
I was hoping.
But, you know, regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum, I think we can all agree that the rioting that took place on Wednesday in our nation's capital, dude, it was shameful, and I really hope that nothing like that ever happens in our country again. It was a sad day for America's democracy and how it is that we govern. But man, I just really hope that we truly have brighter days ahead of us.
Yeah, man, me too. I agree. I think what makes our country, what makes the United States of America such an excellent place, it's not individual people. It's not singular leaders that make America a wonderful place to live. It's truly is like the rule of law and the respect for our institutions. And, you know, we are a money podcast, Matt. We're not a political podcast, so let's not belabor the point. But it is just such an important part of the system, including our economic system. And I hope, too, that what happened on Wednesday is a turning point in the discourse that's happening in this country, which really just kind of like led to the fanning of the flames and the dangerous actions that happened this week. So we just wanted to mention that to our listeners and just kind of come together in solidarity. I know, you know, most of our listeners feel the same way as us. And,
sure.
And they think that those actions were out of control, out of line, or it was terrible to watch and just a sad day in the history of our country for sure.
Yeah, hopefully we will have nothing but rainbows and butterflies. actually, $2,000, that actually might be happening here coming up. We don't know for sure, but obviously we'll keep folks posted on that. But speaking of that, stimulus checks, man. Did you get your stimulus money from last week?
I did. I finally saw it deposited in my account. So
very nice.
Good
news. Yeah, almost 70% of Americans have received their money. But, dude, many others haven't because of a glitch in the matrix. Or maybe it was an IRS screw-up, one of the two. If you are eligible for a stimulus payment, but you haven't received it yet, check out the IRS Get My Payment tool again. It's actually up now. Last Friday, it wasn't up yet. And if it shows you a message saying status number two, not available, then you won't be receiving your payment until you claim that credit when you file your 2020 tax return. So yeah, just a point there.
Apparently, this affected a lot of people who filed with one of the major tax prep services.
Yeah, a few of them.
Yeah, so something to do with the way they process your return and how they open up a separate account in order to take their cut. And because that account is now defunct, you're going to have to wait until filing your taxes to claim your refund, which stinks, but it's just important to be aware of at the same time. All right, Matt, let's talk about investing for a minute. A question on many of our listeners' minds, I feel like some of the Ask HTM questions on the show revolve around this, is like, do I want to pay taxes now or later? And obviously, many of us would prefer the HSA route and avoiding taxes altogether when we're saving and investing for the future. But when it comes down to choosing a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA, that's essentially the question you're asking. Do I want to pay taxes now and invest in a Roth IRA, or do I want to pay taxes when I'm withdrawing my funds in retirement and invest in a traditional IRA instead? Well, there's new data from Boston College, and it essentially says that saving in a traditional IRA is better than investing in a Roth. Their findings show that the vast majority of folks in retirement are paying an effective tax rate of 0%. So according to that data, that means that the vast majority of folks should take the tax break now and invest in a traditional IRA while your effective tax rate is much higher, and then pay taxes on your retirement withdrawals way down the road when your tax burden is virtually non-existent. But Matt, you and I would say, not so fast, Boston College.
Yeah, it's not that easy, right? You know, if you've listened to the show for a while, you'll notice that we are big fans of the Roth IRA. So what gives, right? Well, first of all, one of the aspects of Roth IRAs that we think is fantastic is the ability that you have to withdraw contributions from that account without paying any fees or penalties. For a lot of folks, that gives a tremendous amount of flexibility and peace of mind, right? Knowing that they essentially have an extra pad of funds to access on top of their emergency fund. It's sort of like a second emergency fund almost. This is something that I've even done before. I've withdrawn some contributions before to a Roth IRA to invest in a real estate deal. And so it's just nice knowing that you have that extra stash, you have that cash there as an option.
Yeah. And again, you know, we help people with Roth IRAs and they're not tapping them willy-nilly. But,
right.
But again, it's a great backup to the backup. And yeah, another question you want to ask yourself is, are you planning to be like the majority of Americans in that study? You know, we all know that pensions, you know, they're not really hanging around very much for people in corporate America. If you work at a job that still has offers you a pension, thank your lucky stars, because it's getting rarer and rarer. And the median household surveyed in that study, well, they had a total of about $186,000 in retirement funds that they are going to be drawing down. Well, when you do the math, that's most likely not going to be enough money for most people. Some of our nerdier listeners may have already done the math for themselves already, Matt, and they're probably shooting for somewhere in the $1 million plus range to have in their investment accounts when they eventually retire. You know, we're definitely planning, you and I, in our families, on having more than $186,000 when we retire. That's for sure. And so I think, too, when we're talking about listeners that are attentive to their money and invest really well over a long period of time, who are going to have bigger stockpiles to draw from, it means that you're going to be in a higher tax bracket than most of your peers. And that's another check mark in favor of the Roth IRA as opposed to the traditional.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of leads us to another reason why we like the Roth, right? When, you know, when you're withdrawing more money out of your retirement account because you saved more, like your nest egg has grown over the years and you're going to want to avoid paying taxes on those withdrawals or, you know, or distributions. And the thing is, this study is based on our current income tax rates, which are really low right now. And, you know, they were significantly lowered in large part due to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which is set to expire after 2025. And so there's a really good chance of taxes going up after that point. So that's just another reason why it makes sense to pay the taxes now while they are historically low. It's definitely worth kind of taking the bird in hand than possibly two in the bush.
Yeah. So we'll post a link to some of that data from Boston College. You can make your own decision, but we kind of wanted to play a little point counterpoint to that, because there are a lot of good reasons why Matt and I are believers in the Roth IRA as opposed to the traditional IRA in a lot of circumstances. And that doesn't necessarily hold true for everyone, Matt. You know, we've talked about other circumstances where people might want to consider a traditional IRA. It can get really nuanced. But as a whole, we do like the Roth, and it has a lot of perks, like the ones we just mentioned. All right, let's talk about life without Amazon. Is it even possible, Matt? That's a question I think a lot of people have. And especially,
I don't think it's possible for us. We are one of those households that is, I wouldn't say reliant on Amazon, because I think we could change our ways, but dang, we sure do use them a lot.
And you're not alone. I mean, there's a lot of people boat that have gotten just habitually used to using Amazon on the reg for little things here and there, or big things too. And the New York Times, though, recently had an article that offered some insight and just made me think about how big Amazon has gotten and how many industries they have gotten into. And, you know, you'd have to stop listening to certain podcasts even now to avoid doing business with Amazon, because they just bought podcast company Wondery. They also own Ring, the doorbell and camera company, Twitch, not to mention all the countless sites and apps that use Amazon Web Services. I guess you'd have to see who does the hosting on the company.
Where is this website sourced?
Right, exactly. But at least some people are trying. What they want to do is to avoid doing business with Amazon altogether. And I understand their concerns, I'll say. But in Canada, a site called Not Amazon has sprung to life in order to bring more business and also awareness to small local businesses.
Yeah, it's not Amazon.ca because it's a Canadian site.
Right, exactly.
And I wish that there was a better resource just for all cities, right? You know, like there isn't an easy way to locate your local businesses if you're shopping online. You know, I've looked at locally.com before, which is a pretty good site that kind of sources individual cities and goods that you can potentially get there within your city. But it's not necessarily focusing on independent businesses. And honestly, it's just not the best solution that we have yet. It's not the real true answer, but hopefully there will be one, you know, fairly soon. But man, you know, when it comes to your money too, what's really important is that you're not mindlessly making purchases on platforms like Amazon, but that you're also considering alternatives, you know? So hop over to different sites, like hop over to eBay to consider buying used. I mean, here's the thing is that like everything that's on eBay isn't necessarily used. Like sometimes they are items that were maybe floor models or items that were returned. It's not just old stuff that somebody found at Goodwill and are flipping within their eBay store.
I will say too, there are a lot of individuals and small businesses that do most of their business or a lot of their business through sites like eBay. So when you shop at eBay, obviously eBay is a bigger tech company, but there's a lot of people that are making their living through that site.
Yeah, and in the end, like, I just want people to be better at searching for goods, you know, instead of just going to Amazon or instead of just going to Walmart and searching for your item and ordering it. Like, I want folks to become professionals at hopping over to like two or three different sites, quickly searching and then finding the best deal. That way they know that they're not overpaying for goods to where the wheels have been greased and it's completely frictionless and they can buy things without even hardly thinking about them. We don't want the ability for us to spend money to become automatic.
Yeah, and Amazon has made it almost that easy to be automatic. And that's what we want to avoid ourselves and for our listeners to avoid. And at the same time, too, we want to recognize that at times it makes sense to pay more to shop locally, to support the businesses that matter to your community, the friends of yours that have started a business, or just your neighbors that own a business. And just because you can get it cheaper in some other place doesn't always mean that that's the best course of action, right?
That's right.
All right. But we got more to get to on this episode, Matt, including some of the interesting stuff that we didn't get to last week that's in the relief bill. And there was a story about dirty debt collection tactics on the rise. We'll get to that and more right after this break.
All right, we're back from the break, and we'll get to that dirty debt collector story here in a minute. But let's go ahead and talk about a few other things that made it into the 5,000-page relief bill that was passed at the end of last year. Which, have you been saying that a lot lately?
Last year?
I haven't showered since last year. That's something our girls were saying.
I keep that on the DL, man, all right?
Our girls were saying that earlier this week. They thought it was so funny. man, one of the things that was included in the bill was one that had to do with flexible spending accounts. In recent episodes, we advised you towards spending all of your unused FSA money on eligible items. Because at that point in time, we were entering a sort of use it or lose it scenario. You know, we were recommending folks to maybe restock their first aid kit, load up on sunscreen for the summer, because everybody's probably going to be going to the beach, right? I mean, yeah. Like vaccines will be out by then. Dude, it's going to be crazy. There's going to be a sunscreen shortage.
Party in the USA.
Seriously. But that use it or lose it scenario is no longer the case. Congress is now allowing FSA money to be carried over from last year to this year without penalty, and has instituted a 12-month grace period for unused money in healthcare and dependent FSAs. And so that's great news for people that were unable to use those funds because of changes COVID made to your health and, you know, your childcare needs. The bad news, though, is that this is an employer option to offer this. It's not mandatory. So hopefully yours is keen to help their employees. But if you don't hear any communication from HR soon and you've got FSA money that you don't want to lose, make sure that you are being proactive and reach out to them yourself.
Yeah. And I think you can light a fire in the HR department. Not a literal one, but like the one that gets the ball rolling so that they fill out the paperwork so that you are eligible to roll that money over. Matt, another random thing that made it into the relief bill was a crackdown on illegal streaming. And I think, you know, the first time I read that, I was like, oh man, they're going to arrest so many people in this country and put them behind bars for up to 10 years, apparently, because that was one of the elements that made it into the bill. It was harsher prison sentences for illegal streaming. But I read a little deeper to find out what the deal was. Fortunately, it's not harsher jail sentences for individuals who accidentally or even on purpose stream pirated content.
Right.
but it's really about the spammy companies you see on the internet offering you access to thousands of channels for $8 a month. You know, I'm sure we've all seen a website like that or had a friend who asked us, like, hey, should I sign up for this streaming service? It's so cheap and it gives me everything. Well, the reason it's so cheap and it gives you everything is because it's a pirated service.
It's illegal, homie.
Yeah, it's illegal. And we should not. No, we should not be signing up for those services. And now the folks running those companies could get cracked down on. I think that's a great thing, personally.
Dude, that totally reminds me of all of mp3.com. Did you ever use that site back in college?
No, I remember using like LimeWire and stuff like that, though.
So the thing with all of mp3.com is it was a Russian site. And you were literally paying for music, and you could make, you know, you could download albums, and it was something, it was crazy cheap. I forget how much it was, but I think it was just kind of more there. Like the fact that you're paying for it just kind of got you off the hook from a guilt standpoint, right?
Like, and I'm paying something.
I'm paying 99 cents for the entire album. Like, I'm not like completely completely just pulling it off a torrent, you know.
Yeah.
But
really, you were only enriching people who were stealing that stuff.
Unfortunately,
anyway.
Yeah, I think it probably went straight to Putin. So.
Yeah.
Dude, speaking of streaming, we're getting inundated with streaming services. I bet you know some of our listeners out there are subscribed to maybe a few too many, potentially even seeing your monthly viewing bills rivaling what your old school cable bill used to be. You know, we are all about paring down to curb your monthly costs, but there's another phenomena when it comes to streaming, and that's finding something you actually want to watch
across so difficult.
All the platforms you use. I mean, you can find anything, but like it's really difficult to kind of go into each one of the different services, kind of find not a specific show or movie, but just, you know, it's hard to browse. And that's something that Real Good, this new startup, that's something that they're doing.
I got to say, we've all been there on a Friday night with a partner, spouse, or a friend trying to watch something. And we're like, what do you want to watch? What do you want to watch? I don't know. Let's scroll through here and see. And you can scroll for 20 minutes and be like, yeah, I mean, there's like three things that we kind of want to watch. But yeah. And so hopefully Real Good, which we're talking about here, is going to help that out. Because basically what they're trying to do is allow you to log into all of your streaming accounts at the same time on its own platform to find what you want to watch with more ease. And that should make it easier to find stuff you actually want to watch and that you have access to, allowing you to get that content. And it also makes it so much easier to see the content that's out there that free streaming providers are offering too, Matt. Because, you know, we've talked about this on the show. There are like over 100 free streaming
Crackle,
services out there. Yeah.
Roku channel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think IMDb has a channel too.
Nice.
And some of them are ad supported, but there's all sorts of potentially great content that you can watch for free, but you got to like individually log into those channels and see what they've got access to. And a lot of us aren't going to do that. But if you sign up for Real Good, log in, you can easily see all those free offerings in one place, which is just going to make it a little bit simpler and easier on movie night.
Yeah, I was reading up on it, man. And one of the things that I feel like one of the problems they solve is the clunky interfaces, like the user interface. Anytime you sit down to your TV, like you're just pushing an arrow. And even when you go to search something, like maybe you can do the voice thing if you have like a fancier platform that you use, but you're kind of punching it in, you're kind of going on the keyboard. It is so outdated. And one of the great things about Real Good is you can download the app, search it on your phone, which is super easy because you're either doing voice to text or swipe text anyway, right? And then it pulls it up there. And in particular, if you have a Roku device, you can just hit play from your phone once you found that thing, and it'll play it automatically on the service that you already have loaded on your TV.
There you go.
That is really cool because honestly, navigating the different platforms, you know, the different smart TV options, like with the little remote with the clicker, dude, that is the worst.
That's a good
like
point.
That, to me, that's the worst part of streaming. And in my mind, if you're able to solve that problem, I'm totally going to check them out.
Yeah, yeah. I'll start using my phone to find what I want to watch.
Easily.
It's going to go a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And then just like shoot it on up to my TV.
Exactly.
I like it. All right. So, all right. Let's talk about dirty debt collectors, Matt. There's something interesting happening right now that could be trashing your credit score. And it's called debt parking. It's taken on this interesting terminology. Some debt collectors out there who lack proper morals, they're dirty human beings, are putting debts that you don't owe onto your credit report, which sounds like a terrible thing to do, and it is a terrible thing to do. Towards the end of the last year, the FTC took action against a specific debt collection firm in Missouri that ended up stealing over $24 million from consumers through this practice. And I think part of what makes this so devious, it's not just the posting of the fake debts to your account, which in and of itself is terrible, but the fact that they aren't sending any notification your way when they do this. And so that means that most people are finding out about this fake debt when they're applying for credit. Like, let's say they're applying for a mortgage because they're buying a home, and then it turns out that their credit score stinks because of this terrible scam that these debt collectors are running. And basically, they're hoping that because you're in such a bind, you're going to pay off the fake debt that you don't actually owe in order to rectify things quickly. So it's
They're counting on the fact that we're not organized, you know, that people don't feel empowered, and they're just like, oh, I probably owe that money. That sounds like me.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you need to be on the lookout to see if debt parking has happened to you. If your credit score has gone down in the hole, you could be the victim of a debt collector doing something like despicable like this.
Yeah, so like we mentioned, the FTC is taking action, so that's good. But you need to take action too. You know, like we just said, this is definitely a call to be organized with your finances and make sure that you know what's going on. And one of the ways that you can do that is to make sure that you continue to pull your credit reports, right? They are still free every week through April. You know, normally you can only access your report from each of the bureaus just once a year. And dude, in particular too, make sure that you pull your reports before you apply for an important line of credit like a mortgage or a car loan, and specifically maybe even doing that a couple months before you know it, you want to take out one of those loans. That way you have some time to possibly clean your report up.
Yeah, fix the situation.
Yeah, but make sure that you do that so that you can see what it is that your lender is seeing, because they're going to be looking through your report. You know, and if there's any incorrect information, any fraudulent information on your reports, you can file that dispute with that specific bureau.
No doubt. Stories like that make me so mad, because it's people taking advantage of other people.
It sucks.
And, yeah, it's just, it's not right. All right, let's talk to Matt about paid time off and sabbaticals. That's something you don't hear much about. But a lot of Americans left a good bit of their PTO on the table last year because many vacations were just scratched completely for a lot of families. And lots of companies typically don't extend vacation days, or maybe they'll give you a couple of months in the first quarter of the next year to use those dates. But some companies are responding really well, and they're offering extensions on the use of that PTO because of the obvious extenuating circumstances. Hopefully, Matt, like you said, this summer, you know, we're going to see more beach vacations happening.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to see maybe by summer and fall more safety when it comes to flying, a lot more people getting in the air. But either way, taking all of your PTO is a great goal to have this year, even if it doesn't mean that you're hopping on an airplane to go somewhere else. And Citigroup, Matt, I saw recently started offering sabbaticals to employees who have been there 5 years or longer. You can take 3 months off and still get paid 25% of your normal salary.
That's really sweet.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
That's great.
I'd love to see like the mini sabbatical, the 3 months off sort of thing, become a little bit more of a trend. I don't know, man. Every time I've traveled somewhere, I swear you run into an Australian, they travel like crazy. And the Australians are like, I'm on holiday. And they're like, they're off for like 3 months always. And I'm like, we need a little more of that in this country.
Well, dude, unfortunately, of the 21 richest countries in the world, the U.S. is the only country that doesn't mandate paid time off. All the other big time countries out there do it. The U.S. does not. And so it's no wonder, man, that it's not a part of our culture. You know, it's not a part of the norms that surround our work and vacation, because oftentimes it starts at the top. But it is cool to see it not starting from the top in this case. You know, Citigroup is doing this, and hopefully we'll see other companies do it as well. But, you know, like, we just live in a country where people work too much, and where stingy vacation policies just they're kind of the standard. And a lot of folks might be worried, you know, that if you take your full allotment of time off, that it might be a career killer, you know, but it's not. In fact, it's important for you to be able to maintain a solid output at work by taking time off. You know, when you take time to rest, it can bring new clarity to the things that you do every day, and it gives you a renewed vigor and joy as well, you know, to your daily work.
Yeah, man, not like I was close to burnout with what we're doing here at How to Money. I love it, but just getting a couple of weeks off at the end of the year was just so nice, man.
We've
pre-recorded a couple episodes, threw out a couple bestie episodes. I know some people hate that, but for us...
No, those were good ones, man.
Those were good ones.
They were.
But for us to be able to continue to enjoy what we do and to be enthusiastic about creating this show, we do need to take that sort of time off. I mean, and it really does make me appreciate... Like, I was... like jumping at the bit to come back in here to record an episode in early January. I was so excited. And I think, you know, I don't always feel that way, but it is nice to take that time off to feel excited again. I feel like that time off actually just accentuates the work that we do. Yeah. And I think it only reinforces at the same time.
Yeah, totally, man. And you know, we're not going to dive into this as well, but there's other studies as well that show that people who take more time off, they're the ones who actually get the raises at work. They get the promotions. So yeah. So keep that in mind next time you're like, ugh, I think I'm not going to take that Friday off, you know. But dude, that's going to be it for this episode. Up on the website, we'll make sure to link to some of the different stories that we talked about during this episode. You can find that at howtomoney.com.
Yeah, and we'll be back on Monday with a listener questions episode. We love taking your listener questions. If you have a question for Matt and I, go to howtomoney.com/ask. You can toss your question our way, and we hope to take it on a future episode, and we hope to see you back here on Monday.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend, and Matt, until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.